Namah Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Parvanitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text. Chapter 4, text 15, page 241. Together. Evam gyatva kritam karma purvairapi mumukshubihi kuru karma eva tasmatvam purvai purvataram kritam. Translation. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Text 16. Kim karma kim akarmeti kavayo pyatra mohitaha tate karma pravakshami yajgyatva mokshase shubhat. Translation. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. Text 17. Karmano hyapi bodhavyam bodhavyam chavikarmanaha akarmanas cha bodhavyam gahana karmano gatihi. Translation. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. Text 18. Karmanya karma yak pashyed akarmani cha karma yaha sabudhiman manusheshu sayukta kritsna karma krit. Translation. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. Text 19. Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita jnanagni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddhaha. Translation. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. Text 20. Jaktva karma pala sangam nityatripto nirashrayaha karmanya bi pravritopi naiva kinchit kuroti saha. Translation. Abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities, ever satisfied and independent, He performs no fruit of action, although engaged in all kinds of undertakings. Text 21. Nirashir yata chittatma chakta sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karma kurvanapnoti kilbisham. Translation. Such a man of understanding acts with mind and intelligence perfectly controls, gives up all sense of proprietorship over his possessions, and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions. Text 22. Yadrichcha labha santushto dvandvatito vimatsaraha samasiddha asiddhaucha kritvapi nanabhajyate. Translation. He who is satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. Text 23. Gatasangasya muktasya jnana vastita chetasaha yagyajacharata karma samagram pravaliyate. Translation. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. Text 24. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagno brahmanahutam brahmaivatena gantavyam brahmakarma samadhina. Translation. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. And finally, text 25. Daivam eva pare yagyam yogina paryupasate brahmagnava pare yagyam yagyenaiva pujuvati. Translation. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them, and some of them offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. Going back to text 15. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process, following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons or neophytes in Krishna consciousness often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities on the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act. To retire from the activities of Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof making a show of Krishna consciousness is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god Vivishvan, as mentioned here and before. The Supreme Lord knows all his past activities as well as those of persons who acted in Krishna consciousness in the past. Therefore, he recommends the acts of the sun god, who learned this art from the Lord some millions of years before. All such students of Lord Krishna are mentioned here as past liberated persons engaged in the discharge of duties allotted by Krishna. This is, you could say, the most important principle in spiritual life, and that is Mahajano Yena Katha Sapanta, to follow in the footsteps of the great personalities. It's more important than studying books or performing austerities or giving charity or doing sacrifices, because all these things depend on consciousness, as Lord Krishna is explaining, that one may perform some sacrifice, but it may be in the mode of ignorance. Just like there was a person, and he performed a sacrifice to please Lord Shiva, and his goal was to get a benediction from Lord Shiva that whoever he touched with his finger, their head would crack into 1,000 pieces. This was his sacrifice. This was his meditation. But we can see that simply performing sacrifice or even scriptures, some people study the scriptures, it's not that their intentions are all pure. They may be thinking, how I'll study these scriptures and I'll twist everything and use the scriptures to lead people the wrong direction. People do that. What is it? Devil citing the scripture. Quoting scripture doesn't necessarily mean that that's correct. It depends on his intentions. Does it mean that if someone, let's say a thief, puts on the clothing of a policeman with badge and everything, even has an ID card made up to prove that he's a policeman, does it mean he's a policeman? No. He's unauthorized. He may be taking the dress in disguise. Similarly, people may perform yajnas or austerities or everything for the wrong reason. But if one follows the footsteps of a great soul, of the great Mahajans, Purvai Purvataram, that Purva means the past, those in the past that have already come before. Therefore, the whole principle of Vedic knowledge is that one follows the previous acharyas. He becomes a sincere follower. And if he doesn't follow, then he will not be accepted. That is his qualification. Now, some people say, yes, we know about blind following, but this is not blind following. This is following with the eyes wide open. In fact, this type of following opens the eyes. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuran mirutan jena tasmai shri gurveno. The eyes were closed in darkness. And this type of following, where one follows the acharyas, it opens the eyes. Not only the two eyes, but even more eyes. Because then he can see much more than... How much can we see with these eyes? You can see some stars twinkling at night, but how much can we see about what's going on there? Or can we see the soul? These eyes are not very powerful. They're very limited. But there are other types of seeing, other types of eyes. Krishna can give, just like He gave to Arjuna. He gave Arjuna the vision to be able to see His universal form. That's a very special vision. Or He gives the vision to see His four-handed form or His two-handed form. Or to understand, to see everything. Krishna can give all that vision. But that vision is given to the devotees who are His sincere followers. And you cannot blame Him for doing that. Why should He reveal things to people who are envious of Him, who are foolish, who are rascals, and so many things? No, you cannot expect a father to reveal all of his most confidential secrets to a son that is a rascal, that is untrustworthy. But if he has a very good son, then he'll gladly reveal everything. Text 15, or text 16. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand, therefore one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. This is the real question in life, what to do and what not to do. At every moment, that quandary is there. A man is thinking, should I run this red light? No one's around? Or not? Maybe no one's around. If I run the red light, I'll save a few minutes. Then I'll be able to do this or that. I'll get some more pleasure. I won't run the red light. Okay, now, should I listen to this music or the news? Or should I make a phone call? Or should I eat the... Every moment, so many questions are there. What should I do? What should I not do? And Krishna is going to explain there's three types of action. In the next verse, he says, in that verse, he says, proper action. Action, forbidden action, and inaction. Three types of action. Now the action, that means karma. Let's look at the Sanskrit. So, karma, vikarma, and akarma. Three words. Karma means action. And then we know. Action means reaction. Then, vikarma means bad action. Should not be done, but he does it anyway, and then he gets the result for that. And akarma means he performs an action that has no reaction. There are certain types of activities that don't bring reaction. And those types of activities are activities that are transcendental. For example, let's say someone is he's living in society and he breaks a law. He drives through a red light. So he gets punished. Or he drives through a green light and he's allowed to drive. He doesn't get any particular reward. Or the policeman, if he drives through the red light, there's no punishment. Or if he drives through the green light, there's no punishment, there's no reward. And in all situations, he is acting on behalf of the government. Or he could stop. He doesn't have to go through the green light. He's not forced to act. He is above the law. If you see a policeman out there and there's a green light, nobody honks the horn, isn't it? If the policeman doesn't go, if he stopped at the green light, have you ever seen anyone honk the horn at him? No one will dare. Because they know he must have some reason. He's above the law. Everyone else you honk, but not him. So that means his position is different. Similarly, a devotee, one who's acting on the order of Krishna, he's transcendental. He's not affected by the laws, good or bad. He doesn't have to worry. He doesn't, for example, if he recovers some stolen property, let's say he goes in and arrests some drug dealers and he finds they have, you know, $100,000. He doesn't think, oh, this is great. Now I'm a rich man. No, he's not a rich man. Nor if the automobile that he's in, if someone sabotages it and blows it up, he's not a poor man. He's not rich, he's not poor. It doesn't depend on his activities. Because he's aloof from the reactions. Going on to the next text. 19. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. Well, this is a real saintly person. This is what really the world needs, is saintly persons who are simply interested in acting in full knowledge, pleasing Krishna. That means they don't desire their own personal sense gratification. It doesn't mean that they won't be satisfied. It doesn't mean that their senses are not satisfied. It just means that he doesn't have to worry about trying to satisfy his senses. He doesn't act for his own gratification. He acts for the gratification of Krishna. And by Krishna's arrangement, he's also satisfied. In fact, he's more satisfied than those who try to satisfy their own senses. That's the irony of this world. The more one tries to satisfy his senses, the more he's dissatisfied. And the more one tries to satisfy the senses of Krishna, the more his senses are satisfied. It's very ironic. No one can figure this out. By their own intelligence, they would never figure out such a thing because it seems contradictory. It's exactly opposite of what we're taught. We're taught, it's like a baby. You give the baby food, it doesn't, you don't say, now, well, here you go, baby, give the food away to someone else. No. You teach the baby, here, put it in your mouth. And the baby becomes accustomed. Yes, when I get something, I put it in my mouth. And then, because they're identifying with the body, the baby tastes something nice and thinks, this is good. This is a good program. When I please my senses, I get pleasure. Because he's not able to understand. He doesn't have knowledge. He can't understand the higher principles. Text 20. Abandoning all variety, all attachment to the results of his activities, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruit of action, although engaged in all kinds of undertakings. Now this is nice. Ever satisfied and independent. Independent means he's not dependent on anyone else. Doesn't matter. If someone says, well, if you don't do this, I won't give you any money. Okay. He's independent of that. He doesn't depend on money. Or if you don't do this, I won't like you anymore. Okay. Or if you don't do this, you won't be famous. Or even in the case of Haridas Thakur, they threatened to punish him if he didn't do what they wanted. But he was independent from that too. He's not dependent on anyone except Krishna. And by being dependent on Krishna, then he doesn't have to worry about anybody else. They can't harm him. Let's look at Arjuna. No one could hurt Arjuna. Even Karna, who was so powerful, or Bhishma, who had vowed, that tomorrow I will kill Arjuna. Arjuna will die. And Bhishma, when he makes a promise, that promise stands. Of course, that wasn't, there was another part to his vow. He said, I will kill Arjuna tomorrow, or Krishna will have to break his promise. One of the two. So he made a vow. And we know Bhishma, when he made a vow, he took a vow of brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means celibacy. And when he was a young man, and he stuck by that vow his whole life. And no one could make him break it, not even Parashuram. We've been reading about Parashuram in the morning. Parashuram lived through so many, hundreds of generations. And Parashuram came to him and said, you have to marry this. You have to give up this brahmacharya nonsense. He took up his parashu. Parashu means axe. The axe Ram. So, but Bhishma said, no, I'm not going to give up my, I made a vow. My vow is everything. And you can try. So he tried, and finally Parashuram submitted. All right, Bhishma doesn't have to give up his vow. Now, Bhishma made a vow. Tomorrow Arjuna will die or Krishna will break his promise. So Krishna broke his promise so that Arjuna wouldn't have to die. Going on to the next text. The point is, when Krishna protects his devotees. Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Devotee doesn't have to worry about anything because Krishna takes care. And Krishna is better at taking care of someone than they are. Well, just think about it. He's omniscient. Means he knows everything. He knows past, present, and future. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent. He's all merciful. So, who's better at protecting you? You or Krishna? You're not omnipresent. You're not all powerful. Even if you try to protect yourself, sometimes you're not able to do it. So sometimes people are proud. I take care of myself. You protect yourself. And a devotee says, yes, I depend on Krishna. Krishna protects me. I think someone can adjust the settings there. Therefore, it's more intelligent to put our dependence on Krishna. That's real independence. There was one back to Godhead magazine in 1976. It was called the Bicentennial of the United States. Bicentennial means the 200th anniversary. This country was founded in 1776. Some of you foreigners may not have known that. 1776. So 1976 was 200-year anniversary. So they put out a Back to Godhead magazine with that theme, Bicentennial. And the theme or the slogan was declaring our dependence on Krishna. Because happened in 1776? They declared their independence from Britain. And now, in 1976, we were declaring our dependence on Krishna. That's real independence, means to be independent of everything else. He's independent of the demigods. He's independent of the laws of material nature. He's independent of time. He's independent of karma. He's independent of everything just by being dependent on Krishna. Everyone wants independence now. They have women's lib, and gay rights, and blacks' rights, animals' rights, environmental. Everyone wants to be independent, wants freedom, but they don't know the secret to freedom. The secret to freedom is to surrender to Krishna. Then you're free. No more. You don't have to worry about it. No karma. No Yamaraj to worry about. No police to worry about. No opposition. No bad reactions to worry about. No bad future. Just think about it. The materialists, they know their future is very dark. And they are so afraid of the future. They have to drink and take intoxication, and they want to go to sleep and not wake up sometimes. So many people have contemplated suicide. Why is that? Why do they contemplate suicide? Because they think the future is going to be worse than the past. Past is already bad. Present's terrible. What's going to be in the future? You know, better just end it. But a devotee, he's free. He's free from bad future. His future is very good, very bright future. I'm going back to Godhead. I'm going to live there eternally. Just imagine. Imagine if you had the opportunity to go to a wonderful island. You've heard about this, you know, one of these islands in the Caribbean. Of course, we know if you go to the Caribbeans are there. So it's not so nice. You know, they're called the islanders, you know, and you know that they can be very rough, and they are rough. So everyone thinks, well, I'd like to go to the Caribbean, but I don't want to be there. There's all the rough islanders. But if you could go to a beautiful island in the Caribbean with only the people that you handpicked, you chose them, and you would be supplied everything throughout your whole life, and your life wouldn't end. You just go on living there with the people that you want, and none of the people got old. And if you didn't like any of the people, you could, you know, export them. Just push a button and they're exported. And you had all these things. You could live there forever, peacefully, without any worries. You could do whatever you wanted. If you felt like working, you could work. And if you felt like playing, you could play. Well, that's how the spiritual world. But even better than we can even imagine, beyond our conception, the food we're eating now sometimes tastes very nice. Imagine what the food's like in the spiritual world. And the music here sometimes is so delightful. Imagine what the music in the spiritual. Don't you think that Krishna would arrange that his pleasure would be superior? That his abode would be superior to this place, the prison? This is the garbage heap. Going on, text 21. Such a man of understanding acts with mind and intelligence perfectly controlled, gives up all sense of proprietorship over his possessions, and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions. This is a real saintly person. Like Jesus was like that. You know, what possessions did he have? He didn't have any possessions. He didn't identify himself with even his family. He didn't identify with any country. He didn't identify with any group. He just identified with God. That's all. That's what we want to achieve. That is the perfection of life, to be like that. To just identify, I'm Krishna's. Matpadaha. Krishna says, Matpadaha means he's my devotee. That is the best. One who identifies, my only identification, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said,
Naham vipra nacha narpati vaishona shudram naham varni nacha griyapatir navanasto yatirva kintu prodyan nikila purnamritab there gopi bhartur padakamalayor das das and dasa. I am not a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. In other words, I'm Krishna's. I'm nothing, I'm no one else's. I don't belong to anyone else. You can't purchase a devotee. We heard the story of Ravana. He threatened Narad Muni that he would shoot him with some weapons, some astras. And he tried, but Narad Muni was not interested. And he was protected because his body is spiritual. He can't be harmed by any material weapon. Now, someone may be able to destroy the material body. That's a fact. We don't say that necessarily all the material body will be protected. Krishna never says, I will protect your clothes. Does Krishna ever say that? He says, I protect the devotee. So sometimes, it may not be that he protects the material body. And you can't blame him for that. Just like if there's a fire, let's say someone's coat is on fire, and you come up and you rip his coat off. Oh, you're being his real friend. You're ripping his coat and throwing it down. That's friendly. Because otherwise, if you leave him in that coat, he'll burn up. So in the same way, sometimes even the Lord may take the devotee out of a burning body so that he doesn't get burned. Continuing, 22. He who is satisfied with gain, which comes of its own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. He's satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord. He doesn't try to carve out his own gain. No. He knows, I can't carve out my own gain. Sometimes people think, I'm going to make it happen. They have sayings like that. Make it happen. You can't make it happen. You have no power to make it happen. You're powerless. Just like when the hurricane comes, make it stop. I remember there was one man. And so he was, while he was doing his work, he was listening to one of these motivational tapes. They have them. And I said, what are you listening to? He said, well, it's a motivational tape. It's really good. I said, what is he talking about? He said, here, I'll play it for you. So he put it on. And the man said, whatever you think, you can do it. You just have to think about it. Whatever you want, you can have it. You can do it. And I said, well, does that mean if you think you're not going to die, you're not going to die? So he's just speaking nonsense. Does it mean that when the hurricane comes, you think, all right, there's no hurricane? Does it mean the hurricane stops? Or if your house is on fire, you think it's not on fire? No. Your thinking is nonsense. You don't have that power. Continuing, text 23. In other words, we are not in control. And therefore, whatever gains come of their own accord, you might as well be satisfied with them because that's what you're going to get anyway. So if you're not satisfied, you'll just be dissatisfied with gains which come of their own accord. You can't stop it. Was it Prabhupada's mother used to teach him that Krishna has 10 hands, and if
With his 10 hands, he can give you more than you can hold. And with his 10 hands, he can take away everything you've got. So you're helpless. In either case, you might as well just be satisfied. Because you don't have control over it anyway. This is intelligence. One who's intelligent, he knows. Whatever gains come of their own accord, very nice. And whatever losses come of their own accord, that's also very nice. We may think, yeah, I like the gains which come of their own accord, but I don't like the losses which come of their own accord. What about the losses? Well, it's the same thing. It's the other side of the coin. He has to be satisfied with gains and losses. What that... Yeah. Labha. Labha means with gain. And then, free from duality, does not envy. Steady in both success and failure. Because what is success and failure? Give an example of something that's success. Who can say? Tell me something success. Okay, so becoming wealthy is success. Okay, now what does a wealthy man do? He drinks and goes out with women. Everybody knows. And he gambles. And eats a lot of meat. So now, he's got all the money, he's eating the meat, he's drinking, he's carousing, he's gambling, and he dies of a heart attack or dies of some horrible disease. So how was that successful? What happened to his success? He died at 42. Miserable and sinful. And now he has to go to Yamaraj, and then he has to get punished into the creamy bhojana hell. And then, you know, you can, if you've committed enough sinful activities, you can visit all 28 of the hellish planets. You can go to all of them if you commit enough sinful activities. So now he has to go to all the different hells, and then after that, he becomes a worm and stool. What happened to his success? You see, so success or failure, it's all in the mind. Material success, material failure. No. Therefore, he's transcendental. He doesn't care about these things. Text 23. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Well, the key point here is, the key word is full contribution. If he wants to go back to Godhead, he's guaranteed if he gives fully. But he has to give fully. Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja. Give up all varieties of religion, not just a few. Don't just give up a few varieties of religion, but give all of them up and surrender to me completely, utterly. One place he says in Bhagavad Gita, surrender to the Lord utterly. That means completely. So, if we want to hold back from Krishna, yes, I'll give 50% to Krishna. Well, then... But it means you're not giving 50% to Krishna, and the 50% you're not giving, well, you're cheating. You're cheating Krishna. You're stealing from him. It's like someone who steals from the bank and then he gives back 50%. So do you think they'll be satisfied with that? Well, I gave back 50%. No, but what about the other? Krishna wants everything. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaishasi satyam te patijane priyosime. He wants everything. He wants every moment, every thought. He wants every word. He wants every action to be given to him. Wow, that's really demanding. But then, what do you get? If you give that, you get Krishna. And you get the spiritual world. And the last text. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them. And some of them offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. See, depends on consciousness. Any questions? Yeah, there was one man we knew, and this was in 1972, and he was a Muslim, but he became a devotee. And you can imagine what his family thought about that. He was a professor. You can imagine what his colleagues thought about it. His wife was a Scandinavian who was not very much interested in Krishna consciousness. He had four beautiful sons, little sons, but his wife wasn't interested in them being Krishna conscious. He lived a far distance away from the temple. It was very difficult for him to practice Krishna consciousness. Everywhere he turned, it was difficult. He was in a car accident. Krishna took him. Prabhupada wrote us a letter and said that Krishna has given him a promotion. He'll take his next life in a very good devotee's family, and he'll continue in his devotional service. Everything in the material world is a result of one's past karma. Nothing's happening accidentally. There's nothing that slips through the cracks, as they say, because everything's covered. No cracks. You can't. You may say, well, my karma is, because the living entity is allowed some free will. It's not that he has no free will anymore. He can choose, but every time he chooses, he's responsible for the action. For example, let's say someone, he's supposed to live, but instead of living, he wants to commit suicide. Okay, now, suicide is not, he's not supposed to do that. But he does it anyway. All right, do it. But then you get the reaction for the suicide to become a ghost. So everything has its action and reaction. Krishna gives us choices in all circumstances. But we're responsible for those choices. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.